Welcome back to the Autonomous and Electric Vehicle Summit. This is Alan Adler. I'm the Detroit Bureau Chief for FreightWaves. We are excited for this session to have two experts in our field talking about a partnership. They know each other. We're going to get to know them. So I'm joined and this time by Mo Poursartap, who is the Chief Engineer and Director of Product Product Management for TuSimple, and by Srini Gowda, who is the Vice President of Autonomous Driving at Navistar International. And it's great to have both of them with us today. The reason we chose them is because, as some of you may know, Navistar and TuSimple have a partnership to bring the first fully level four high autonomy truck to America's highways by 2024. It's an ambitious project. It was certainly something that we were excited to have an opportunity to talk about today. So I want to welcome both of our guests to the Autonomous and Electric Vehicle Summit.
Well, welcome, Kevin. And thank you, Alan, for having us.
So just to get started, guys, and we'll do our best to sort of make sure we know who's fielding what question and that kind of thing. But I guess this one really goes out to Srini, the first one. And that is, Srini, with Navistar now being a part of Traton, does the U.S. project for 2024 that I referenced become something applicable to Europe beyond the individual testing that TuSimple is doing with Scania right now?
I think it's still early days to comment on that, but definitely we will be looking at a common approach. But because Navistar is firmly based in the U.S., we'll be looking at working with TuSimple for the U.S. market. So the ODD, or the operation design domain, is significantly different in the market. Dynamics are different when you look at the overall autonomous solution, but also the business aspects of the autonomous solution is still in its infancy. So the market dynamics will drive this, and I think we'll be looking at a U.S.-specific solution plus a Europe-specific solution. And when and if and when the Traton group looks at China, for example, which is one of the big markets, we'll be looking at that as well as a separate entity. But it's still early days to comment on that. But it's an opportunity that we are joint exploring between Traton Group and TuSimple.
Mo, I guess one of the questions, and this really goes to both of you, but I'll start with Mo, and that is this idea of 2024. We're only less than 3 years away from that. And does that still present a realistic time frame for having a fully capable level four vehicle driverless for long haul? Is that still a realistic date?
No, that's a great question, Alan. And let me start off by saying when we set this goal, we did it with acknowledging the difficulties and challenges that may lie. So that was very well understood at the very beginning. Now, the partnership we have with Navistar, and the importance of this partnership is that we have opened our books to one another to be able to assess the risk or any impediments that we may face along the way. So, and this goes across multiple aspects of getting us to 2024, right? So we are looking at the technology, we are looking at the business, we are looking at the infrastructure that needs to support all of this, right? All the back-end operation, all the maintenance, all the dealer network that need to be in place for all of us to realize the 2024 vision. A big part of it comes into the readiness of your supply chain, right? Are the suppliers in a position to provide you with the tools and technologies that you need in order to launch 2024? So as we stand today, we still believe we can make 2024 happen. There are obviously a multitude of challenges right in front of us. But at this point, I think we're still charging ahead with the original vision.
So, Srini, do you go along with that? Do you obviously challenges ahead, but something that's achievable?
Yeah, just back to what Mo said. I think there are a multitude of challenges. Number one, nobody has done this before. It's the first time that the entire industry is trying to do this. Number two, as an impact of that, or a domino effect, is the supporting networks that need to be there to launch this technology just isn't there yet. And just to recall one of my peers said, it's very easy to have a vehicle equipped with sensors do a round in a university campus. But to get that onto production, onto the real streets, onto public roads is the real challenge. And it's probably a million times harder, right? That's the scalability challenge that we're looking at. So right now we are looking at 2024 and we're full steam ahead in achieving that. In parallel, we are trying to build up these infrastructures that need to make it happen, that need to enable autonomous trucks working in a safe manner. So yes, we are full ahead, going full ahead, but there are some challenges to meet 2024 as of now.
So given that, I guess I'd put this to both of you. Is there sort of a consideration then, or maybe you're even working on it, for taking a step approach to the project, that is enabling certain features while more capability and technology is validated? For example, would you, for instance, maybe train the fleets that are interested in the truck to put drivers in and let them monitor, a safety driver type of thing? There's no reason you shouldn't do that. Is that something you would think about doing?
I'll take the first stab at it. So let me start by setting the stage before I answer the question, Alan. I think if you look at the freight market, right, there's an $800 billion market here in U.S. alone, right? But if you look at the volume of goods that are being moved around within this network, right, it's a very well-defined set of corridors and customers that are moving the volume, a significant volume of this. Of this truck freight movement. For us, we have focused on really understanding where is these large volumes coming from? Who are essentially the shippers and the carriers and the customers who are moving this freight, and really work with them to understand that business and this origin destination pairs. Once we understand that, and we today have a fairly good grasp of that, we are able to say, here is our first launch. Here is our first step. We don't have to sort of, as my friends like to say, boil the ocean in the first go. We want to sort of step it along the way so that we capture as much value as we can in the early stages, given what a monumental task this is, and sort of build on that and move forward. We don't need to be moving freight on the passes of Colorado mountains on day one, because I mean, there's very from a business opportunity point of view, there are lower hanging fruits that you can do without facing that sort of solving significant technology challenges. So we're sort of building our operational design domain as such that we capture the most in the majority of the market with. In collaboration, obviously, with our partners and customers, and really use that as a foundation to build upon it. To your point, Alan, we're getting the product to market, get it validated, and then add capabilities to that base foundation as the technology progresses. And even we get more mature, right, as we expand our footprint and our network.
Well, and certainly today, I mean, we're talking supervised or monitored function, level four functions. Srini, I want to ask you, there's a couple schools of thought really on equipping semi-trucks with level four high autonomy. One says the safest way to do it is to redesign a chassis for all the redundancy of safety systems. The other, followed by most, is to retrofit an autonomous software stack to an existing chassis. Let's start with you, Srini. What are your thoughts on these approaches, and which are you doing?
That's a great question. I think it's one that an OEM would love to hold close to their chest. The first and foremost priority for the OEM, such as Navistar, is product safety and liability. We would want to deliver a solution to our customer base which is safe and can operate in a design ODD or operation design domain. To that end, what we're doing with TuSimple is we are building trucks to suit the autonomous platform. We are looking at redundancies. We're looking at various suppliers that are proficient in providing redundant systems, whether the electrical architecture, the braking systems, the chassis, so on and so forth. So we are doing all we can from a product safety approach, taking ownership of that, working with TuSimple. And as one of my peers said, partnership is the new leadership. Especially here, we are constantly exchanging ideas with TuSimple, who know the autonomy stack better. And we're also exchanging ideas with our own experts within Navistar to understand what the best solution is. And I think the answer is going to be quite clear in 2024. When we actually are successful in pulling the driver out from the autonomous truck. So to answer your question, Alan, we are looking at building the truck to suit the autonomous platform, taking all the redundancy aspects into question and keeping product safety and liability the number one priority in that aspect.
Right. Now, Navistar does work, I believe, with Bendix on the Wingman Fusion and things like that. That does provide some level of underlying, I guess, redundancy, really, on some of the safety systems. Is that one of the things that you'll take advantage of as you design here?
Yeah, so we are looking at a number of solutions from the supply base. And the redundancy solutions for the autonomous trucking space is comparatively new. When you look at the passenger car segment, it's slightly more, probably more mature when you look at where the supply base is. So we are considering a few options, and we will take into account the safest option that can execute in a time-friendly manner for a customer base, but also to meet TuSimple requirements. One of the key things driving this overall selection platform, whether it's the ODD, whether it's anything else that needs to take into account, is a safety case. How do we develop a safety case that meets our immediate customers' needs, liability standards, regulatory standards? And as part of that approach, we are doing, we're basically ticking all the boxes and dotting all the I's as we approach the 2024 timeframe.
Very good. You know, Mo, one of the LiDAR companies, AI Today, announced and that a 1,000 meter LiDAR that will be used by TuSimple. How important is it to be able to detect objects more than a half a mile in front of the truck?
It's a great question, Alan. I think to answer that question, I would say it's if we want to launch a product, we need to understand essentially how to make this product as efficient and as operable as possible, right? There are many scenarios in which you would be able to, you want to be able to see as far ahead as you can in order to understand the scene ahead of you. And the importance of that is how efficiently and how effectively you essentially maneuver around, events and scenes that sort of occur about half a mile ahead of you. Having that far ahead understanding of the road and the dynamic scenes that may occur in front of you, as much as you can in advance of you, what you can, it's an important element of building a product that can scale. Yes, can you do it with I don't know, about 500 meter? Sure, to address the safety cases, that may be sufficient. But in order to have an efficient product out there, I think it's important to have a perception range that exceeds what current sensor technology can supply and provide.
So, Mo, one of the advantages I would think for TuSimple then is the access, if you will, to this customer base. I mean, you certainly have signed some fleets to some of the test runs that you're doing in the Southwest and that sort of thing. But now you've got a major manufacturer and their customer base to tap into. I would think that would be a tremendous advantage for you.
It certainly is. We have been working very closely with our customers and Navistar to bring them in, and in the early days of autonomy, and really learn from them and also share our lessons learned with them. To help drive a lot of these developments together, in fact. So we are currently running a voice of customer workshop with a large number of the customers participating in these. We are sharing our vision and ways of implementation and the way we see the technology being deployed and getting their direct feedback. with their C-suite and technology leaders and, you know, maintenance groups and automotive groups within the fleet. So it's a tremendous advantage to have that level of direct access to the customer and be able to incorporate their feedback and their needs and wants early on during the design stages of the program. So it's an incredible opportunity, and so far we have been able to cultivate this partnership, not just with Navistar in the same form of fashion, do the same thing with our customers and be able to sort of pull them in.
You know, there's two kinds of partnerships in the autonomous space. The ones that are announced, like yours and, for example, Aurora Innovation with PACCAR and Volvo Group. The other is the quiet cooperation that doesn't get announced. Srini, does Navistar still have anything that you're working on sort of on the side? I mean, you know, we don't have to have just one exclusive partner, right?
Well, I can't answer that in much detail, Alan. But I think as we already announced a partnership with TuSimple, the intent of Navistar is to be a leader in the space. And we'd really like to address our customers' needs as a top priority, but having a safe and a safe product on the road. So having that in mind, TuSimple is a partner, and we will do all we can to achieve that 2024 timeline. Sure. In terms of exploring alternative approaches, alternative technologies out there in the market space, to be honest, there aren't many. And I'm sure if Navistar was having conversations with any of the other providers out there, it wouldn't be quite be out in the market by now.
Got it. So one question I'm sort of asking all of our summit participants in the autonomous space, I want to run by both of you, and Mo, we'll let you go first on this one. And that is, what does this sector, the autonomous, high autonomy sector, look like in 5 years? How far along will we be on driver out? What are the consolidations among players? You know, if we think that there's six predominant players today, you know, what does that landscape look like 5 years from now? Why don't you take us out with that, Mo?
It's an exciting question. And I think a lot of people are trying to sort of better understand the dynamic of the market and see where it's heading. From what I see, Alan, I'll share my two cents on the subject. I think there are tremendous amount of advancements on the technology side that's taking place, and I feel confident within the next 3 to 4 or 5 years, we should be able to see credible cases of driver out emerging, both on the passenger side and as well as the truck side. It's certainly achievable within the next 3 to 5 years. In terms of consolidation, about 10 years ago or so, many players started operating in this space, and you can see many of these consolidations are taking place today on the passenger car because the scope of the problem is so large. And the amount of resources required to solve this problem is so immense that you can have scattered teams trying to solve it. So there will be, at some point, consolidation in the trucking side as well. You know, meaning, when will that happen? How will that happen? I think it's yet to be seen, but it's very likely a question of when and how, as opposed to an if. So that's sort of what I think will start to shape up in the next 5 years or so. The one thing I would like to say, I think within the next 5 years, we should see commercial products, autonomous commercial products out there in the market in some shape or form. I think it's going to be an exciting journey from now and through the next 5 years.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Bo. Srini, we're gonna wrap this up with you. Your take on these two questions. You know, how far along are we going to be on sort of the driver out aspect of level four high autonomy, and what kind of consolidations that might be a little tougher for you because of being in the manufacturing space, but you do know who's doing what. You keep up on this. That's part of your job. So give us your take on that, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I also come from the tier one space, part of joining Navistar. So I'm probably much more closer to that, to those questions. I think the industry is in its infancy when it comes to technology itself. The key challenge is scalability. As I said before, it's very easy to run a vehicle in a defined ODD, but how do you scale it up and how do you make sure it is safe enough for a particular segment that you're going to add to the ODD, per se? To that effect, consolidation will drive this market. As you've already seen, you've seen Aurora take up due to consolidation in the recent past. And I anticipate a lot more in the next 5 years, as Mo said. But I think the goal is achieving that scalable approach, expanding that ODD. It's not practical to have an autonomous truck running, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles every time you want to expand the ODD to address those long tail events that might happen in the autonomous space. And to that end, simulation is going to be a key factor. How do you improve fidelity in the simulations? And how do you then gain that confidence level and that safety level, safety case to say, I am now safe enough to deploy in this ODD or deploy in this particular segment? So these are going to be the governing questions. And whoever cracks this particular problem and has a solution at hand, the scalability solution, will drive the industry forward, in my view.
Okay. Thank you. Both of you, thanks so much for your time on this today, your insights on what is obviously an area that has more questions than answers, but you're certainly seeking those answers. And we appreciate the efforts, Mo, the Purshottam, that you're undertaking at Too Simple, and also Srini Gowda at Navistar. Great to have you both. Thank you so much for participating, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.